So basically, we're about to embark on the next sugya, and that's Bitul Chometz to the eyes of the Hilchos Bali HaTosfos. And this sugya, as many sugyas, I think if I'm not mistaken, I gave you my word the first day of Shia this year, that although we're learning, say, the Maya this year, there is so much in the beginning of Pesachim that's intertwined with Dinim Amunus. We've seen it already, maybe from day one we already saw this, that sugyas of Hefker now become related to sugyas of Bitul. There is so much overlap between some of the basic Klom and Dinim Amunus that was going on in terms of by Rabbi Motzei. We're going to hopefully talk about this a lot more later on. We talk about Dinim of Shmiran, Dinim of Halva, and Mashkan, and other things that impacted the Chometz. So here we're about to embark upon the sugya of Bitul to the eyes of Tosfos. And it's going to take us to a whole long, hopefully a good understanding of what Hefker is all about as well. So Tosfos on the Daven and Beis, if the piling up Kasha to Kasha against Rashi, and they quote the name of the Ri. And the Tosfos with the Reis with the Yamasagi, the Tosfos with the Ri, the Reis with the Yamasagi, mitam de miyacha shebitle have a Hefker, viyatsa mishusoi. Says Tosfos, you want to know why Bitul Chometz works? Bitul Chometz has nothing to do with Tashbisu. Tashbisu is Avara, it's physical destruction. You want to know why Bitul Chometz works? It doesn't work to fulfill a mitzvah, it works to circumvent by Rabbi Matze. It creates the status of Chometz She'ena Shaloi, and no different than Chometz of Hekdesh, no different than Chometz of Goyim. It's Chometz She'ena Shaloi. And the Torah Kedoshah says, Rabban Shalom, tell me, Shabbat, you're a Lachal Chometz. L'chol comes the mind chomet shel achirim. Ad kan debeit Tosfos. So comes the Ramban in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim and starts the sugya raw for us with a very, very technical kasha. Says the Ramban, it can't be. It is impossible to declare that Bitul Chometz is simply Hefker and Dinim Amunus because of a very, very technical concern. There is a sugya later on Dev Zayin, actually the sugya of Tamid Yesh Mei Rabbi, but the Gemara talks about the possibility of doing Bitul Chometz on Shabbos. It's a Shabbos this year. Our Pesach Chas B'Shabbos, we're all going to do Bitul Chometz on Shabbos. We're all going to get up Shabbos morning after we eat our lunch or Shalosh Shuras, whatever time in the morning we can do these things, and we're all going to get up and say, Kol Chamei V'Chamei, we're going to say Bitul Chometz. Bitul Chometz and Shabbos really affect the Ramban. If Tosfos is right, the Bitul is basically synonymous with Hefker. Since when are you allowed to be Mafka things on Shabbos? That's out of the question, says the Ramban. To permit Hefker and Shabbos, that's Chol Shabbos. So from the fact that Chazal permitted Bitul, not like Bitul, encouraged Bitul, we all practice Bitul Chometz and Shabbos. And since everybody knows, Dr. Ramban, that Hefker is off limits on Shabbos, that means from Dor that Bitul and Hefker are not synonymous. So if I had my board over here, I would have Bitul equals Hefker. Wrong, says the Ramban. It can't be, because in Cain, it would have been prohibited to be Mafka and Shabbos. Conceptually, why was the Ramban so convinced he had to be Mafka things on Shabbos? What is such terrible Chilul Shabbos? Which of the Lamites Belochas does being Mafka fall under? So the Ramban clearly understood that Hefker is part of a general category of halachas called Mekichel Memker. You're not allowed to do any business dealings, any business transactions on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And Hefker is a business transaction. The property used to be mine, now it's no longer mine. That's very business oriented, it's very masamata, very Dinim Amunus oriented. And all business transactions are off limits. And why is that? Why is it also to do business on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So Rashi, So Rashi Maseches Beitzah actually presents three different makoros, three different reasons to prohibit Mekichel Memker. There is no question Mekichel Memker is also in Shabbos and Yom Tov. There are Mishnayos and Gemaras that say it explicitly, but why it's also is a little bit less clear. So Rashi, in one place Maseches Beitzah writes, it's a Gezeira Shem Yichtoiv. We're afraid that you may come to write, since much of business involves writing, keeping records. Gezeira Shem Yichtoiv. Rashi quotes another possibility, that maybe it's not related to the malachos, maybe it's related to the picture of Shabbos that is portrayed in the Rabbi Yeshayo, that Shabbos is supposed to be a day of Mtoshim Shabbos Reglecha, says Chasabi Yom Kotchi, because the Shabbos Oinig, etc. if you involved in your pursuits, your daily pursuits, your mundane business pursuits, that's a problem. To such an extent that the Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos, you're not even allowed to speak about your business pursuits. You're not even allowed to talk about buying and selling. So, Kavachem, you can't buy and sell itself. If I'm buying and selling things, that's Eilichom, Mitzvah, Chavtzah, Vidabah, Dovagol, Mizeh. So that's the second reason why. So according to the first day in Rashi, it's part of Hilchos Shabbos, that's a Gezeira. It's a Gezeira de Rabbanan, Otu, Melacha X, Melacha Kesef. According to the second day in Rashi, it's not really Melacha oriented. It's rooted in the general halachas that the same way you're not supposed to be running on Shabbos, Mishabbos Reglecha, the same way you're not supposed to be speaking about Melacha, David Dover. You're not supposed to be dealing with mundane business kind of stuff, but not doing Melacha per se. Then Rashi, in another place, makes reference to another pasuk at the end of Sefer Nehemiah, where the pasukim describe that some of the stores were opening in Shemayim, beginning by Sheni, and Nehemiah was screaming at them to close the stores. Terrible, terrible thing with the Zionists of Shabbos. So maybe that's the source. Then again, that is almost similar to the Mitzvah kind of halacha. Something just intrinsically wrong with having business on Shabbos. It stares the Shabbos. It's antithetical to Shabbos. The Pasha said, Dvarim is, no matter what your source for the Yisr of Bech HaMemker Shabbos is, it's probably only mit the Rabbanon. If it's a Gezeri Shem Yichtov, it's Zichet the Rabbanon. If it's based on Psukim and Navi, on Psukim and Ksuvim, it's not a real bona fide din der Aisa of Pashas. Could there be any kind of buying and selling that's awesome in a Torah? So there's a famous Ramban in Pashas Emor where the Ramban writes that if your entire business is open in Shabbos, literally business as usual, even though no malacha per se was violated, you didn't violate a lav, but you were in violation of the mitzvah of Torah of Tishbos. The Ramban draws a very, very famous picture by Shazemar of a fellow who is careful not to violate any malach on Shabbos. He bends over backwards, does everything kiliyachiyan, and he has goyim, and everything is done. Mamashin, kedasu chadim in Torah. So the Ramban says, don't think that this person is not a machal Shabbos deraisa. He is a machal Shabbos deraisa. He's machal Shabbos in violation of Shabbosin. So according to the Ramban, if I just, you know, sell you one quick thing, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, after lunch and Shabbos, one quick act of mechamemke, that's only Nisid Rabbanan. But if my entire business is open on Shabbos, business as usual, so that would be a bit of mitzvah deraisa of Shabbos. That would be the antithesis of what Shabbos is supposed to be. So the bottom line is everyone agrees there's Nisid mechamemke, most of the time it's falling on the mid Rabbanan, and every once in a while I may smack of a deraisa. So the Ramban says that included in this issue is not just buying and selling, but even being mafkir as well. And therefore, since we know for a fact that you're allowed to be mafkir, sorry, we know for a fact you're allowed to be mafkir yachomitz on Shabbos, you see from here, the bittul clearly is not tzadam sudhafkir. That's the thrust of the Ramban. Conceptually, how would you deflect the Ramban? No, we need some participation here. Come on. Gotta wake the guys up a little bit. No, how would you deflect the Ramban? Yeah.
If Hefka isn't
Mekach HaMemcha. Oh. So one way to deflect the Ramban is to say, the Kushi Mekar Lesa, the Ramban's very premise is not correct. That, who said it's also be Mafka and Shabbos? Vishnei, the Gemara, it's also be Mafka and Shabbos. And you already went one step further by saying, and I'll explain to you why the Ramban's reason may be flawed. Who said that Hefka is Mekach HaMemcha? Maybe Hefka is something very, very different. So that would be one logical approach to go down, to say that we can deflect the Ramban's kasha by saying Hefka was never also Shabbos in the first place. That would be one approach. Could anybody think conceptually of another way to deflect the Ramban's kasha? To almost give in to the Ramban a little bit.
Which is a Shabbos, ain't hachinami, but other times you do it. Erev Pesach, you eat the chametz, so you do something else with it. So,
Ein Hachinami,
that's
what? That it's Asr or Mutu?
That's Asr. Ein Hachinami, that's Asr, but the other days you do it.
No, you have no choice. I mean, basically, what I think Mr. Alto is saying is that the Ramban di Karon is right. You're really not allowed to be Mafkar and Shabbos. It's Taka Nisagom or Mecha Mepkar. But it's only Dirabanon. And Chazal lifted that Issa Dirabanon when they felt necessary. When is it necessary? Pesach Chas B'Shabbos. That's very serious. What other choices do you have available? You ate already, you finished your challah rolls already, you're stuffed, you're done. I'll tell you, my shaka choya. Not last time, Erev Pesach Chas B'Shabbos, but actually 2 times ago, Erev Pesach Chas B'Shabbos. So it happened to have been the year where I had left Paramus, I used to be around Paramus, New Jersey, And it was right before we opened the shul in Bergenfield. So there was about 1 year of time when I was a free agent. So it was the only time in the last 20 plus years that I was able to go away for Yom Tov. So we went away. Don't worry, I didn't go to a place of problem. Relax. And when I went, we went to my brother-in-law's house, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law's house in Muncie. We went for the first days of Yom Tov. So that year was an Erev Pesach house b'Shabbos. So a bunch of people there. We were there, and their family was there. Some of their extended family, sister-in-law, whatever. There was a bunch of people there for Yom Tov. So I made a quick calculation: how many challah rolls we need for the sudas? Because you have to eat your Friday night suda, so we try to eat challah rolls on the Friday night suda in Erev Pesach. Then you have to daven very early, wake up very early, and eat Shabbos morning suda, 7 o'clock in the morning. Then you have to have a little bit of a hefsek and eat Shabbos shudas, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. Again, we'll talk about this as we get closer to Erev Pesach for Shabbos this year. So that's basically three challah rolls per person, right? Challah shudas, simple math. So we had, Mama said, I think we had like 16 people, you know, around, leaving out some of the babies, but 16 people were. So I made a simple cheshbon. 16 people times three challah rolls, that's 48 challah rolls. So I bought 48 challah rolls, exactly to the number 48 challah rolls. What was my small technical mistake in calculation? I assumed there's a double poshut that everybody's going to eat a challah roll for a suda. I mean, whether you machmed have a kibbutz or a kezayit, who's going to have a suda Shabbos less than one challah roll? So my first mistake was that half the people in the calculation were female. So they have a different way of calculating. There is no way in the world that half the people at that table were going to have an entire challah roll after just consuming another one 20 minutes before. It just was not happening. So we found ourselves in a very uncomfortable position. As the clock is ticking away, we had about 35 challah rolls left in the heart of Muncie, not a non-Jew anywhere in sight. And what in the world are we going to do with these challah rolls? So you can ask my kids. They don't remember anything from that Pesach except for one image. The image of one of my brothers-in-law standing and flushing challah rolls down the toilet. One after another, after another, after another. You have to crumble it up or else you're going to be in big trouble. Teichein, a lot of lumdus in that. I think the plumbing is still broken from 20 years ago. Anyway, so please don't tell your mother that AIDS will come with a better AIDS for you. So what are you going to do? It's a lay's prayer. You have to vatel. If you don't have a vatel, you can be up the creek. You're violated by Rabbi Matzi. So maybe we can give in to the Ramban that be karong, you're not allowed to be mafkir in Shabbos. And you really should not have been able to be mafkir chometz in Shabbos because people are tamefkir. What do you do? Hey, my man, Chazal made this. Chazal lifted this because it's a tremendous tzarech. This would not be the first, not the last time the Chazal lifted in Isser b'makom mitzvah. Sometimes they lifted, many, many other things b'makom mitzvah. So fine. So we have two different ways to deflect the kasha the Ramban against Taisus. So Taisus starts the ball rolling by saying, Rashi's pshat is not correct. All the kashas we had from last sugya, from the Taisus, from Rabbeinu Peretz, from Rosh Lava, a million kashas to reject Rashi. So Taisus sticks to the guns, to the Shittas Ari, the Bittul Chometz is really hefker. In fact, the Ramban, Abazoid, it's hefker. So then, why is it mutter on Shabbos? So two approaches, either to say that there never was an issue of hefker in Shabbos, Bechlal never was, never is. Or no. Or maybe there really is. The Ramban is taka right, the Ikaron. Practically speaking, he's not right because this is Erev Shabbos, this is Erev Pesach Shabbos. We have to lift the Issa Rabban. So we have two logical ways to deflect the Ramban. So it's very nice for us to talk off the top of our heads about is it mutter b'mafkir in Shabbos or not. Why don't we try to bring a raya? Instead of just philosophizing about whether you should or should not be, why don't we bring a raya? So we have to search Shas. As we all kedarkeinu b'kodesh, we have to search Shas. Is the mutter to be mafkir or not? Is the Ramban right or not? No? Who saw the two Gemaras? Who saw the two statements of Chazal that are relevant to this discussion? Bring me a raya. Anyone got this one in the Maamar Kremes ready? No? Who's with us in the Maamar Kremes? Guys got a head yet or not yet? Show of hands, who's ready into this sugya? No? So I bring two Gemaras. They're both of Masechet Shabbos. So one Gemara appears in the beginning of the 16th Perek of Masechet Shabbos. You get a perek called Kisvei. Kol Kisvei is an entire perek dedicated to the following problem. The house is burning down and it's Shabbos and I can't extinguish the flames. Why can't I put out the fire? Pikuach Nefesh. What's my Pikuach Nefesh? Who's going to die? There are three people in the house. I'll get all three of them out of the house, but the house will burn down to the ground. Azma. So that's what the Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos. As long as it's not Pikuach Nefesh, if you get everybody out, You're not allowed to extinguish a flame. Kiva is one of the lachs of the Torah. You're not allowed to extinguish a flame in Shabbos. I get to lose your house. Lose your house. More about it after Shabbos. So the Poskim are very, very quick to point out, already hundreds and hundreds of years ago pointed out, that this Mishnah and this entire Perek is not really relevant to Maisa for the following reason. Chazal were describing a very, very different set of living conditions than we have today, than we've had in the last several hundred years. Chazal were describing farmhouses. You have a guy, he's living in a house, and there's nobody else around for miles. So if there's a fire breaks out in his house, get everybody out, and the house will burn down, his mom. It's not going to be dangerous to anybody else. Whereas Bizman Hazeh, that is inconceivable. Bizman Hazeh, if Rahman Lutzlan, there's a fire in one house, it's going to spread to another house. And therefore, we always assume that every chashash of fire today is a chashash of a pikuch nefesh. It's a safek pikuch nefesh. And therefore, poskim can say, L'maisa, what do you do when there's a fire in the house on Shabbos? You put it out yourself, call a fire. Whatever you would do on a regular Tuesday, you do in Shabbos. So none of this is relevant to L'maisa. This is already Nimna V'gomer, hundreds of years ago already. The poskim made this ha'ara. It's interesting, in Rabbi Ribi at Sefer, in Uch Shabbos, so he quotes Mar Mekremis, every single thing under the sun. So here, when he quotes this Ha'ara, that the Zman Hazeh, the houses are too close, and even if you happen to live in a place where the houses are not so close, but they're still too close for comfort, so he says, Bizman Hazeh, we always have to assume that there's a Chashash Pekov Nefesh. He writes for his notes, who's his Mar Mokom for this? So he has a fascinating Mar Mokom. He quotes Rockland County Fire Department. That's his Mar Mokom. Okay? Back to the story. So, the Mishnah, back in the old days, when putting out the fire was prohibited on Shabbos, the Mishnah tells us that not only is putting out the fire also, but you're not allowed to put yourself into a situation where you may end up by mistake putting out the fire. So let's say, for example, if you go running into that building and start to yank stuff out that you need, there's always that concern out there that you may inadvertently may forget a Shabbos and you put out the fire. So the other Chazal said, don't run back inside and grab all your jewels and all your expensive stuff, furniture, because by doing so, so here Chazal threw one chumrah at you, another chumrah at you, you're not allowed to put out the fire in the first place. And you're not even allowed to do anything that's going to fall to Gzeir Shem Yechabim. But Chazal built in two coolers into that Gzeirah. Gzeir Shem Yechabim doesn't apply all the time. Every once in a while, if it's so critical, it's so important, it's so pressing need to run into their house and save something, Chazal lifted that prohibition with the Rabbanim. So again, this whole thing is not lamaisa for us, but within that world of Gzeir Shem Yechabe, there were two categories that Chazal lifted. Anyone know what they were? What were the two basic categories?
Food for the Sudas.
Food for the Sudas and Kisvei HaKodesh. And that's how the Perek stuff, Kol Kisvei HaKodesh Vatzilu Mishabes. If let's say there's a Sefer Torah in there, or there's a Sefer of Nevi'im in there, or a Megillah in there, so you're allowed to run in and save that Sefer Torah, save the Kisvei HaKodesh, even though you're putting yourself into the possibility of potentially being mechaber the flame, the significance of saving the Kisvei HaKodesh overrides that Gezeirah Derabbanan. That's what the Mishnah says in Shabbos. Then the next Mishnah talks about another situation where Chazal lifted the Gezeirah for food. The guy wants to have a Shabbos meals. What's he going to eat for Shabbos? All his food goes up in flame, he's going to be starved. So you're allowed to go in and save your children, save your food, save your whatever you need for the Shabbos meal, you're allowed to run in as well. And in fact, the entire sugya of Suda Shabbos is in that prayer. That's what the Gemara talks about. All the details of Hilchos Shalashidus and Shabbos is in that prayer, in that context. So the Gemara tells us that what would the din be in the following case? Let's say my wife just made an unbelievable amount of food. Mamish, tremendous amount of food. So the din is, Matzilim Mazin Gimel Sudas. I'm only allowed to save what I need for the 3 months. I can't save for next week. I can only save for the Gimel Sudas of Shabbos. But my heart's breaking. All the food's going up in smoke. What do I do? So Gimel Sudas Gival Ge'etza. I'll say, what you could do is as follows. What you could do is, you could give a call, carry to your neighbors. They obviously live very far away, as we said before. Give you a scream at them, and call them Alachatzil, Yavalachatzil. We're giving away free food. That's a good way to get people to say free food, everyone will come. Free food, come, we'll give you food. Everybody come. So everybody comes grabbing their Gimel Sudas. So Reuben's collecting his Gimel Sudas and Shimon. Everyone's taking 3 Sudas, no more than 3 Sudas. Everyone's taking a little bit for the Gimel Sudas. So everyone says, that's okay. Kola Yava, Lito, Yava, Vito. Frekter in Dvar Kasha and the Gemara. What does that statement mean? Kola Balito, Yava, Vito. That's basically tantamount to what are you declaring your food to be? Give me the magic word, guys. What is it? Hefker. You're being mafkir your food. That's what you're doing. You're being mafkir your food. Frechter Ritva Kasha. And here the Ritva is a loyal Talmud from Talmidim for Rabban. The Ritva's Rebbe was the Ra'an, the Ra'an's Rebbe was the Ramban. So the Ritva considered himself to be a chain, a link in that chain from the Heilige Ramban. The Ritva asked the Kasha. He says, I don't understand. How could you say, you're being mafkir your food, and you're not allowed to be mafkir on Shabbos? That's the Ritva's Kasha. As I fret the Ritva, I said, the Ritva, nah, it's not a good Kasha. You know why? And for the Ritva, you're not being mafkir your food. It's already hefker. It's going up in smoke. Something that's about to be consumed by the flames in 2 minutes from now, it's already a davshal hefker. It's gone. It's finished. It's hefker l'kol already. Whew, so Baruch Hashem could be the sign of relief, the Ritva says, that the Ikaron, you're not allowed to be mafkir in Shabbos, but Baruch Hashem, here you are. So good, Baruch Hashem, we're good to go. So the Ritva solved the world's problems. That's not what this begins. There's another Gemara that also sounds like you're allowed to be mafkir in Shabbos. What's the other Gemara? The Gemara tells us that when something is off limits, I can't use, I can't eat, I can't use it for anything, it's muktzan Shabbos. Tevel is muktzan Shabbos. Why? I'm not allowed to be mafkir in Shabbos and Shabbos. So I'm not allowed to eat, I'm not allowed to use it. So I'm a now. Totally, but I basically can't use it for anything, just about. So it's also on Shabbos for usage, therefore it's muktzah. Says the Gemara, Tevel is muktzah, but Demai is not muktzah. What is Demai? So that was a special takwis spoke about. In the past, Tachanis Yechrin Kerin Gadol, that although most people were separating Maishas properly in the days of Aisheni, there was a group that wasn't. And therefore, Chazal made a takonis al-chamim that if you buy food, buy products from them, all right, you have to be mafresh maishas again, just to be on the safe side. That's demai. Until you mafresh maishas, you're not allowed to eat it. So says the Gemara, it's okay. Demai is not muktzah on Shabbos. Why not? Because there is a way to eat demai on Shabbos. How could you possibly eat demai on Shabbos? Since the holiness of demai is on a midi rabbanu, minat Torah, rov emeiros ma'asrenhein, so minat Torah, it's not a problem. So Chazal built in a kula and said, "Machilas aniyim demai. If you're poor, you can eat demai." That this issa derabban of demai was never instituted for the poor people. They never have enough food to eat anyway. So we give them a kula, give them a break, and they can eat demai. So comes the Gemara Shabbos and says, since there's a possibility to eat demai beheter and Shabbos, if you were an ani, you could become an ani very quickly. How? Just be mafka your whole portfolio. Take all your property. Just be mafka everything. Mafka l'kol. So since, in theory, every person can become an ani, so the demai is royal kach, it's royal achila, and therefore it's not considered to be muktzah. Ad kan divrei gemara. Zok to be eerie on the spot. Really, boy, mafkir l'nichsei? I can be mafkir my nechosim? Zet mefendo, you're allowed to be mafkir on Shabbos. So this gemara sounds like a kash against the Rabban and the Ritva. Unless one says, no, the gemara doesn't mean you're really going to do it. The gemara just means that since in theory, if you did it, even though you're not really supposed to be doing it, but the evidence would work, and therefore you could theoretically eat the demai. So therefore, it's not considered to be muktzah. The gemara never really meant to say you're going to mamish do it. Nobody would really be mata such a thing. So it's unclear. You have two gemaras in Shabbos. They both seem to be pointing in the direction that it's mutter to be mafkir. One was the gemara about kol kisvei kol avol hitol yom avitol. Let everybody come and eat my food. The Ritva was doicha. The Ritva says no. That's different because it was already hefker. Then the second raya is demai. In fact, the Gemara says iboy mafkir l'nichsei. That's what the Iri thought. That was a raya. We say no, love dafka raya. Gemara just means that in theory you could, and if you did it theoretically, it would be chal. But a mice is not really mutter to do. So when all the dust settles, what is the din? Halach l'maisa. Are you allowed to be mafkir in Shabbos? Unclear. The Ritva clearly thought, I said the Ramban and the Ritva clearly thought it was problematic. And we're guessing that Taisus disagrees. We're guessing that Taisus, who equated bittul with hefker, disagreed. Yeah. I can't. Yeah, a little bit. Talk faster. I mean, chometz is the same thing. It's about the gemosar. Interesting idea. I don't know. I think about that. I hear. Interesting idea. I don't know. So again, let's back up for a second. So we started the sugya with Shita Taisus. Taisus starts off by telling us what bittel is not tashmisa. What is bittel? Bittel is hefker. Frank the Rabban, if bittel is hefker, how could we accept bittel on Shabbos? And we know for a fact we're not allowed to be bittel on Shabbos. So Raya Brua, bittel is not hefker. That which Taisus assumes the davar poshut that you're not allowed to be mafkir. I'm sorry, that which the Rabban assumes the davar poshut not allowed to be mafkir on Shabbos. We're not so poshut to us. We have two Gemaras that, if anything, sound the opposite of the Ramban. The Ramban is taka the mitzvah chilav raya. The Ramban is not so poshut. So we're very comfortable right now with presenting the machlekes Taisus and the Ramban. Nothing to do with Pesach. Nothing to do with bittel. A general machlekes kol Shabbos l'shomer. A lot of be mafkir. According to the Ramban, it's an issur gomer to be mafkir in Shabbos. According to Taisus, it's heter gomer to be mafkir in Shabbos. That's the pashas hadvarim, right? That's the easiest way out to explain the kudus of machlekes Taisus and the Ramban. Everybody, so let's think this through, though. Don't be fooled by what's the easiest way out. Conceptually, what do you think the din should be? If I didn't tell you Taisus, I didn't tell you Ramban, I didn't tell you Be'iri, didn't tell you Ritva, didn't share with you two Gemaras on Shabbos, I would just wake you up and ask you, what do you think? You're allowed to be Mafka on Shabbos or not? What would you think?
We're thinking, say, Hashem Yechidav doesn't apply. You're not making a contract with any other person.
Oh, Kobe's already 3 steps ahead of me. But even before the reasons, I don't want to focus on the reasons right now. I want to focus on the formulation of the Yisr Derabon. What's the name of the Yisr? Mekech u'memka, right? Buying and selling. Business transactions. Changing ownership of property. That's the name of the game. Whether it's Mishum Shem Yichtai, whether it's Mishum Des, I don't know what the reason is. I don't care what the reason is right now. But the name of the Yisr is Mekech u'memka. Do you think conceptually that Hefker should be Mekech u'memka or not? Do you think that's a Hilchos Shabbos shaila? Or that's a Cheshev Mishpat shaila? I think that's a very, very loaded Cheshev Mishpat shaila. I want to know exactly what happens. A mafkir something. Before it's mafkir, I own it. Now what happens? When I declare something Hefker, Yesh Lachkor, is that a change in ownership? It used to belong to me personally. It was private property, belonged to Reuven. Now it belongs to who? There's a new entity, there's a new corporation. You know what it's called? Hefker l'Rab. It's Mamon HaTzibur, Mamon HaElam. Call it whatever you want to call it, Elmo, whatever you want to call it. It's not Reuven's property anymore. It belongs to a new entity, new Chalashem. There's a new owner. There's a new name on the title called Mr. Hefker. Is that pshat? If that's pshat in Hefker, then the Ramban is right. That's a violation of Mekech u'memker. And I don't even want to address Kobe's issues, whether the reasons apply now. Hopefully we're going to get there later on. But just, I want to know the name of the game. Does it make sense to call that statement Hefker a change in ownership? Does it make sense to call that a violation of Mekech u'memker? So if you really believe that Hefker is a new property, is a new entity, is new ownership, so then making something Hefker was a change in ownership. And that's a violation of Hefker. But if you take a different approach to Hefker, Hefker is not a change in ownership. Hefker just means that whoever wants to take it, come and take it. It doesn't belong to anything. Nothing happened. It's a head to the take. There was no hakino. When I sell you a car, the car used to be Reuben's car, now it's Shimon's car. It used to say Sobolovsky's name of the title, now it says Rothenberg's name of the title. That's a Bechira. You want to know if it's meant a Matona. A Matona is, it used to be Sobolovsky's, now it's Laub's. That's a Matona. Even Hektish. You want to tell me Hektish is like Mechel Memkech with Mekabel. It used to say Sobolovsky, now it says Reuben Shalom. It says Hektish. Hefker. What does it say in the title? So anything, blank. There's no title. It doesn't belong to him. There's no Mr. Hefker. So the chayr, it could be that conceptually, if Hefker is not really a hakadol achayrim, if Hefker is not really a change in ownership per se, it's just a din that now something occurred that permits somebody else to come and take it, but it hasn't really exited out of my rishus yet. If that's the case, then the chayr, there's no reason to ask that on Shabbos. So isn't that the Nekudas Machlokes Taisus and the Ramban? But the Ramban is Shirayin Chai V'Kayim. What do you mean? You're not allowed to be Mafkir and Shabbos. Disaster. It's an Issur Gomer to be Mafkir and Shabbos. It's not Mekech u'memker. And the Bealei Taisus respond back, what's for Mechum Hefker? Hefker hasn't been Yotze Bishusai. There's no Knol Acheirim. Isn't that the simplest pshat in Shittas HaTaisus? Isn't that the simplest deflection of Taisus? So we're deflecting the Ramban's Kasha by first of all showing it in two Gemaras. We bring textual support to deflect the Ramban. Two simple reading of Gemaras and Shabbos that indicate you're allowed to be mafkir, notwithstanding the Ritva's Dechiyah, notwithstanding Ad Dechiyah. But the simple pshat in the Gemara is that you're allowed to be mafkir on Shabbos. And now, to boot, not only do we have a textual support, we have analytical, we have a conceptual support as well. We have a whole framework in terms of Lomdus. Why? Because our take on Hefker is that it's not going to be like an Olachem. Who here is comfortable, show of hands, who here is comfortable with this approach in Shittas HaTaisus? I'm looking, I see somebody nodding their head. That's Mr. Alter. He's Mr. Alter, if your head nods anymore, you're going to go in. If you're not any harder, you're going to bump into the other guy's screen. So yeah, I see you. You're not happy. I see you're not happy. Can somebody formulate for me why Mr. Alter's not happy or why I'm not happy? Isn't this Taisa Shita? Isn't this Pashut? Yeah. Why is it? Why?
How does it help in terms of getting rid of the Chametz stone?
What do you mean? What do you mean? A bomb crash. This is a great pshat, but it's a disastrous pshat for Taisus. Because Tosfos are the same ones in the next breath who say, oh, by the way, you want to know how Bittul Chametz works? It works based on Hefker. And why is Hefker solved by a relevant Matzei problem? Because it's what? It's Chametz Shalat. What was the magic word? What did Tosfos say? It's about Talavrei Shal Acheirim. Tosfos called Chametz Shal Hefker Chametz Shal Acheirim. They lumped it together. The Chametz Shal Akum. The Chametz Shal Hektish. So the Bali HaTaisus, we know exactly what they thought Hefker was. We know the Bali HaTaisus believed what Hefker was. We know they thought what Hefker was. They were the biggest supporters, the biggest believers in Hefker being Shalacherim. There was a Zahakna. There was a Zah change in ownership. So how dare you turn around and stick into their binds of the Bali HaTaisus and commit them to the Shvach HaShita about Hefker. Hefker is really nothing. Hefker doesn't really change anything. And that's why it's okay on Shabbos. It's a stira galuya in the chatayt of the sasa galam hazeh. This chakira is a great chakira. It's a phenomenal chakira. But don't commit the Bali HaTaisus to the wrong side of the chakira. Because the reason why Taisus held that it's mutter to be mafka and Shabbos is because they held there's no issa ever to be mafka and Shabbos because it's not called akadol acherim. Then nafal ha'yisaydav, then the entire Taisus is mufach minei ubei. So then im kain, how could Taisus claim that Hefker is a batir of by Rabbi Matzei? It never really changed ownership. Nothing really changed in any moment. How is that Chomesh al Acheirim? So Rabbi Isai, I am sorry to report that the first approach that we have in the sugya is not correct. I don't believe that Taisus holds you're allowed to be mafker at Shabbos fundamentally. What I do believe Taisus probably holds is that you're really not allowed to be mafker at Shabbos, but Chazal lifted the Yisrael Hafke b'Shabbos when there's some great need. The great need being, it's Erev Pesach. And you can't get those challahs down fast enough. Hey, Chabatzina, the work is there. Do we have a source for this idea? Do we have any precedent in Chazal that the Ikaron Hefker is also in Shabbos? The Ikaron shouldn't be done, but we're going to look the other way for Bukha Mitzvah. Do we have a source for this? Do we have a precedent for this? Do we have a rationale for this? We don't just trivialize Yisrael and Dravonim just like that because we have Tzrachim that come up. So now, again, we're just trying to understand Taisus. We're just addressing one kasha from Ramban. Umar lo banu for one day, it's worth it to cross the bridge, just to come over, drive to yeshiva, first time in 8 months, just to appreciate the kasha from Ramban against Taisus, and to be able to empathize Taisus in one of two possible ways. So the first track we were going down was to say, there's no way to sit a half and Shabbos altogether. And we had two Gemaras to support it, and then we backpedaled and said, no. That ain't Taisus. Maybe someone else, but ain't Taisus. So now we're going down route two. We ran into traffic on the first route. Recalculate. Taisus holds the Ramban is right. Bikaron, you're not allowed to be mafkin shops. It's like an ola cherim. Ober, it's mutter now because mako mitzvah. Hecha matzinu mako lazer. So this is the Gemara in the second book of Beitza. Anyone got to the Mordechai in Beitza yet? No? No one got it yet? Okay. Jump ahead with you a little bit. Give you a little background. The beginning of the second episode of Beitza. The last time the yeshiva learned Beitza, Anyone know? Anyone know where we were the last time we shared the Beitza?
2001.
2001, we learned Maseches Beitza.
9/11.
That is right. So you know where I was 2001? Learned Maseches Beitza? This very room. So I think the last year of BMP, if I'm not mistaken. So when we moved BMP to before I became a Rebbe in YP, so we learned Maseches Beitza, and I'm not mistaken, we're saying Shir in Sheikh. It's probably the last time I stepped into this building. I've been there once or twice since then. So this is where we are, after Maseches Beitza. We've now moved to Maseches Pesachim, almost 20 years ago. If you guys weren't even born then. So Rabbi say, beginning of Sechah Bekah Beitza tells us about the halach of Erev Tavshilin. What's meant Erev Tavshilin? When you have a yontif leading into Shabbos, so you're not allowed to cook from yontif to Shabbos. The rice, the rabban, the whole complicated sugya. We'll talk about this later on. We get the hay comes up a little bit, psachim. But the mice, you're not allowed to cook from yontif to Shabbos. Unless you make an Erev Tavshilin. What if a person forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin and his mom should have tickle? What does he do? So Gemara is the possibility that even though he forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin, maybe he could take all his food, all his raw food, and give it to somebody else as a gift, and then that food can be cooked. So Gemara is a shayla, Erev Tavshilin did the gam and then the cheftza. If you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, is your food off limits to be cooked? Or is it you as a person can't cook it? So the whole lumdish was still getting second back of Beitza. So Gemara entertains the possibility that makna kimchal echeirim. That's perfectly okay to give all your flour. Your wife wants to bake challah now. She'll let her give the raw flour to somebody else as a gift. She wants to make potatoes for children. You give the potatoes to somebody else. That's perfectly okay. Makhtar kimchal echeirim. Frek the Mordechai on the spot. How can you be makhtar kimchal echeirim? How can you give the kemach to somebody else as a gift? Isn't that goof a violation of giving a matono on Shabbos and Yontif? Makhtar Shabbos and Yontif. Mechal memkim Shabbos and Yontif. How can you do that in Yontif? Tanisa Gomor? Answers the Mordechai, otherwise you're going to starve for Shabbos. And therefore, the Mokam Mitzvah, obviously Chazal lifted that otherwise prohibition. So the Mordechai says, Zeben from that Gemara and Beitza, from the fact that the Gemara entertains the possibility of being Makta Kimchal Yacherim, you see from that Gemara that Chazal did lift the prohibition of Hakanoah, Mechamemker, on Shabbos and Yontif, the Mokam Mitzvah. We could be the Sar belief. Says the Mordechai, it's not only there that Chazal lifted it, we can actually extrapolate to other cases as well. What are some of the other cases? The very, very famous Mordechai. Mordechai says, a guy wakes up Friday night, he sits down to the meal, and he realizes, Gevalt Geshrigin, he forgot to be Tevelis Kalim. He forgot to be Tevelis Kiddushkop, he forgot to be Tevelis Silver, he forgot to be Tevelis Glasses, what is he supposed to do? So the Mishnah tells them, Sechah Bekah Beitza, in that same parak, you're not allowed to do Tevelis Kalim on Shabbos and Yontif. For a variety of reasons, midirabbanan. Says the Mordechai, what's the guy going to do? The guy's mamash in a pickle. He has nothing to eat. What's he going to do? So says the Mordechai, says, no problem. Give the kelim to a goy as a gift and borrow them back from a goy. How does that solve the problem? Because the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, kelim were only required to have tefillah if they were either made or owned at one time by a goy, and now they're b'shus ha'Yisrael. But if there's still b'shus ha'akum, there's no mitzvah tefillah kelim. Let's say if you have a Yidan Jew who owns a restaurant, there's no need to tefillah kelim. If the kelim are still owned by goyim, there's no mitzvah tefillah kelim begins once the kelim are nichlus in the b'shus ha'Yisrael. So says the Mordechai, it's now Shabbos, it's Friday night, and there's no way for it to be tefillah these kelim, because it's innocent that I bought a tefillah kelim. What do you do? No problem. Give the kelim as a gift to Yaakov and buy them back. And showing it's mechamemker, no problem. It's mutar b'vocha mitzvah, as it says in the Gemara, makna kimchal echeirim. Famous Mordechai quoted the Ramon Shulchan Aruch. What's the rationale for this? Why did Chazal stam lift this issur d'rabbanan so easily, just like that? So the Chashulchan has the following beer. The Chashulchan suggests, going back to how we started this again, why is mechamemker aser on Shabbos on Yontif? For two basic reasons. One is because Shem Yichtoiv, and number two is that it's business pursuits. Says the Chashulchan, neither one of those reasons apply to matanas. There's really no reason to ask to give you a matanah Shabbos. There's really nothing wrong with giving you a matanah Shabbos. Nobody writes down matanas, Shem Yichtoiv, and it's not business pursuits. Just being a nice guy, being friendly. I'm not buying, it's not making money, it's not my parnosa. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the Ikaron, Chazal never should have asked Matanos and Shabbos. The only reason why they did is because it's almost like a little plur. It doesn't look right. It's like kind of Mechel Memka oriented. So things that are Mechel Memka oriented, even though the reasons don't apply, never we have to ask them. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, since they're really not Aser anyway, it's really just an extension of a Chumra, Chumra, Chumra. That type of Issa Derabanan, they lifted Mechel Mitzvah. Generally speaking, we don't just stop lifting Issa Derabanan Mechel Mitzvah. Certain Issa Derabanan are subject to being lifted Mechel Mitzvah, and others are not. So something as low level as Matana, which is not even real Mechel Mitzvah altogether, is lifted by Mechel Mitzvah. That's why, parenthetically, you can't keep your store open on Shabbos for Mechel Mitzvah. Let's have a Svarim store. I want to keep my Svarim store open on Shabbos to sell Svarim. That's ridiculous. Real Mechel Mitzvah you can't do by Mechel Mitzvah. Watered down Mechel Mitzvah you can. And the reasons that apply, you can. So the Chara, that's the Bira Dov and Hefker also. Even Zol Zayin, that Hefker is also in Shabbos, it's not the real McCoy. Come on, there's no Shem Yichta in Hefker. It's not Metcham Hefker. It's not Mitzchevtzicha. The reasons don't apply. Even the Eisrim Hefker in Shabbos, only Aseret as a Leib Plug. It's an extension of a Chumra, 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 Chumras. It's like Matana. So those kinds of extended Isurim, Chazal lifted the Mechel Mitzvah. So that's the beer in Tosis. So going back to Asugya, so Tosis made the statement that Bidnu Chometz is Bidham Hefker. Correct the Ramban, it's impossible, because if so, it should be also in Shabbos, and it's clearly Mutter in Shabbos, Fair Shemar of Zion. So we had one possible approach is that maybe Hefker is Mutter Lagami in Shabbos. Maybe the whole thing, the whole Ramban is not correct. And we said that's probably not Shittas HaTosis, because if that's true, so then it shouldn't qualify as Chomesh HaLachayrim. It must be the only reason why it's mutter to be without the chametz on Shabbos is because even though hefker fundamentally is asur, it's this kind of hefker, this kind of mechamemku was lifted in mechamemku mitzvah, and we have a precedent for this in that Mordechai, based on the Gemara Sefer Berachah Beitza, we even have a beer for the Aruch HaShulchan. So Baruch Hashem, we started the sugya. We barely, because we start the easy part of the sugya. We just, it's a gefaldik, a rabban, the detaisu, the hefker. But Rabbi said the sugya has not even really began to unfold yet. Hope Amir Tashem tomorrow, we're going to take this Taisus to task, and we're going to try to deal with the fundamental question. If Taisus is so right, the Bittul is Hefker, how come Rashi didn't say it? How come Rashi went around about and found you a different beer in Bittul? What was wrong? What was missing? What was the flaw in Taisus' reasoning? Hope Amir Tashem tomorrow, we're going to attack this Rashi and Taisus and really try to get our feet into, completely into the sugya of Hefker tomorrow. Okay? Be well. See everyone tomorrow, Mitchum.
Yeah. Did Henry just end the meeting? That's what that was?
Yeah. Thank you so much.